For two decades, Elizabeth George and her Inspector Linley series have been mainstays on bestseller lists across the country. In 2012, her 17th novel in the series landed on top of the New York Times bestseller list, making George a number one bestselling author for the first time. Now readers get another dose of the charming Inspector Linley and his hot-blooded colleague Barbara Havers in the new novel A Banquet of Consequences. It is published by Viking, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth George to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Great to talk to you.
Very nice to have you on the program. This is the latest in the Inspector Linley series. Tell us what brought you to this particular point, the 17th novel in that series, I should
note.
No,
this is actually the 19th.
The 19th novel. Okay.
It is the 19th novel. Yes. This book grows out of a circumstance that took place in the 18th novel, a book called Just One Evil Act, in which my detective sergeant, Barbara Havers, creates a circumstance for herself that puts her in professional jeopardy. And in this book, A Banquet of Consequences, she is doing her best to kind of prove herself to her superior officer and to successfully carry off a case so that maybe her superior officer will rip up transfer papers that she has been forced to fill out that would send her to the north of England.
When you started this, how did this character come about? How did you think that Linley would be an interesting character and somebody ultimately that you would want to spend 19 novels with?
Well, when I began, I was writing for my own amusement, not necessarily expecting to get published. And, of course, I wanted to get published, but I didn't know if I would be able to. So I really thought it was important for me to create a character that I wanted to spend some time with. And in order to do that, I think that a character has to have a certain richness to him or her, and has to have enough of a life and enough of a backstory to give the writer a little bit of wiggle room. Sometimes I think what writers do is they don't think in terms of the big picture, and they create a character that doesn't have enough stuff in him or her, and to allow them to sustain a series. But what I wanted to do with Linley is to create a character who had a backstory, and in that backstory would reside, relations. He has a mother. He has a brother who struggles with drug addiction. He has a widowed sister whose husband was murdered. And the other characters that are continuing characters also have complicated backstories as well. So that made it really interesting for me and sustained my interest in the characters, and I hoped that my interest would transfer to the reader's interest.
And when it comes to Barbara Havers, you always knew that this was going to be the character that Linley would work off of.
Yes. Barbara Havers was created to be his partner. I had written two previous books in the very beginning that never got published, and in those books, my forensic scientist St. James was the main character, and he was the one who was the person who solved the crimes. But since those books didn't get published, I thought on my third attempt, well, let's give this guy Linley a case and see how he does. In order to give him a case, I really needed him to have a partner to bounce ideas off of. And so what I did to create tension, a natural tension in the series, was to create his exact opposite. So whatever Linley is, Barbara Havers is not. She's the exact opposite of that. He's upper class, she's working class, etc.
Did you always know that it would take place in Scotland Yard?
Yeah, looking back, I don't know if that's the best decision I ever made, because Scotland Yard is really the administrative arm of the Metropolitan Police, and when I began these novels, I was writing for my own entertainment, and I didn't, really know too much about policing in Great Britain. So it is the case that that officers from the Metropolitan Police do become involved in criminal investigations, and they do become involved in criminal investigations in other parts of the country, but you do have to do some fancy dancing as a writer to make that happen.
When you think about, and I know this, we've talked about this with you before, which is how many people just assume then that you're British?
Yes. Well, that's good, though. You know, it's not that I pretend to be British, and I couldn't put on a British accent for the life of me, but I have a long-time love of Great Britain, and I really do work to make the books as authentically British as I can, not only with, you know, with language and syntax, but by placing the books in an area of Great Britain that I have actually been and researched as far as the setting goes. So I want to give the reader sort of an authentic experience of having been there with the detectives.
Is there a plus of being an outsider looking into that system and writing about it?
Well, yeah. You know, I think there is, in that it gives me an opportunity to examine on a large canvas a whole slew of things and to have some distance from the things that I'm examining. So, for example, when I wrote Deception on His Mind and I wanted to write about the Pakistani experience in Great Britain, I think that because I am an American doing a study of it, that perhaps gives me some leeway that I wouldn't have if I was a British person born into a particular class of individuals and making commentary about another class or another ethnicity. As an American, you know, we have a totally different social structure here, and so it gives it a sense of being a sociologist looking at their circumstances in England that I don't think I would have. I don't think I'd have the same, definitely wouldn't have the same perspective on it.
You spoke a moment ago about the research, and I'm curious as to writing the type of psychological suspense that you write. Does that psychological aspect require a certain degree of research?
Yeah, especially in a book like A Banquet of Consequences, because one of the things that I wanted to do was to explore a particular kind of aberrant personality, that a personality is a disorder, and so that definitely required my looking into what that personality disorder was like and how it would manifest when the person was under stress. So it's something that you can't really, you know, make up as you go along, because there's certain things that, you know, there's a sort of a panoply of behaviors that somebody with this personality disorder would engage in. And, you know, I wanted to be sure that I could see clearly what the psychopathology of this person would be.
What do you think there is about this type of book, especially a psychological suspense, that we so enjoy, that the audience loves? Why do we love this stuff?
Well, first of all, I think that crime novels are, you know, when they're well done, they're intelligent novels that offer everything and that a good novel should have. And then they have the additional element of the unknown that pits the reader against the writer to attempt to, you know, figure out who done it before the writer actually reveals it. So the neat thing about crime novels is that it attracts a really wide audience, depending upon your level of education or your willingness to become involved, you know, in some cases a lengthy read. A lot of times novels don't ask things of people. You know, they're sort of like, you know, you sit and read and you become diverted and you aren't put in a position where intellectually you have to figure stuff out, and the crime novel offers that to people. It's interesting when you think about it, the enduring popularity of this particular kind of writing, which, you know, really began with the work of Edgar Allan Poe and then just went on from there.
A typical crime novel is not this long, and which is another way of saying that your novels are far from typical crime novels. Were you ever advised, or maybe it was suggested that the books be shorter and quicker, or has this always been your style in allowing you to do what you wanted to do?
I've been really, really fortunate in that my very first editor, a woman named Kate Misiak at Bantam, was absolutely 100% supportive of whatever I wanted to do. And that's a rare thing in an editor, in that, especially if you're writing in a particular genre.
Right.
You know, Kate recognized that I wanted to do things in a crime novel that hadn't necessarily been done before, one of which was that I didn't want it to be a book where you always saw a particular format playing out, and that I wanted to do a book where you wouldn't necessarily meet anybody from the criminal team, the investigators. You might not meet them for 90 pages or so. And I remember telling her that, and her response was, if your reader thinks that she's going to see Inspector Linley on page one of the novel, then your reader's just going to have to adjust. And it was great. It was really great. Whatever I wanted to do, that was absolutely fine with her and fine with the publishing company.
Well, it's a beautiful novel, and I'm very glad there are almost 600 pages. It's an awful lot of fun. The book is A Banquet of Consequences, a Linley novel. It is published by Viking. Elizabeth George, a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck with the new novel.
Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is A Banquet of Consequences, a Linley novel. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.